Hey, everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It is me, Adam Hunter. I am here with D. Greg Wilson.
Hey, hey.
As well as CB Gold.
How's it going?
We got Eves Edwards coming in, but he's a little late right now. So we have Joe the Kid Perez on the mic.
What's up, guys?
We are on Tip a Fighter. So if you like our podcast, if we entertain you and you want to show your appreciation, we will gladly take your tips.
Shower us.
Make your tips. Make it rain, people.
Make it a golden shower of gold.
Shower of CB gold. Yes.
That's right.
So a CB gold.
Sometimes when I'm showering, I actually pee up onto myself so that it mixes with the water and makes a greater golden shower.
You give yourself golden showers?
That's right. It's more of a brass shower with the way
new record. That was faster than Dwayne Ludwig and Jonathan Goulet.
Yes.
Nice reference. I don't even get it. I assume it's...
It was the fastest knockout in UFC history.
Nice.
6 seconds.
Well, over the weekend...
Which one was it?
Over the weekend, Crazy Horse tied it, but not in the UFC, and Rising.
7 seconds.
Seven?
Yeah, he's got 1 second. He's got 1 second to shave off his next fight.
Damn. Anyway, I will tell you about my week. So Thursday, what did I do Thursday? Thursday, I go to the ranch to do the show at the ranch. It was after the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we would drive down there. And
it used to be on Wednesdays, didn't it?
Yeah, it came to Thursdays.
Right.
And it's in San Miguel. It's like this, like, the ranch is like 30 miles, a little bit south of Fresno. Which, by the way, this week I will be in Fresno this Friday night at Frank's Place in Fresno. But anyway, so we get there, and me, and I bring my two openers. They were going to split the time because they both kind of feature for me. So one was going to host. And we're in the back, and this black dude comes up there, and he's like, "Hey, man, do you mind if I host a show?" Now, I don't know this guy, but he's like, "I've been here the last 6 weeks, and they usually let me host. Is it cool?" So I'm like, I'm like, "Are you a comedian?" He's like, "Well, kind of, but I've only been doing this 6 weeks comedy." So,
you know what, though? Kudos to him for saying kind of.
Yeah, he said kind of. Right,
because usually if they do one show, they're like, "I'm a comedian, guys."
Right. So then, I said, "Sure, no problem, man. Cool. Now you go ahead." Then he asked my other the feature, "Hey, man, how do I start getting paid doing this?" Like, he wanted to know how to get paid doing comedy, which...
That sounds right. There it is.
Yeah, which, by the way, you know, in comedy, it's like fighting. You don't get paid for a long time. I don't think I got paid anything for... until my seventh year of doing comedy. Maybe eighth was like my first paycheck came in.
Yeah.
And I think I got $50 and I thought I was rich. I thought I could.
Oh, yeah.
I think I gave 20 to a homeless guy leaving the comedy club because I was like, I couldn't believe I actually got paid doing this. So it's like saying, "Hey, how do I become a black belt?" Well, you got to get on the mat. And the same thing with comedy. So anyway, so I said, "Okay, sure." So it's a pretty decent crowd, about 50 people, 60 people. So this dude goes up there. His opening line is, "Who here got raped?" That's what he opens with, right?
"Please leave the stage now. You are done here for the evening."
He opens with like a rape question, not even a rape joke.
Let me break out my checkbook. So this guy's about to get paid.
And then his joke was something about where, like, he goes, "Yeah, you know, sometimes when you're getting raped, do you think a rape whistle really stops rape?" Right. So that was like, and then he goes, and then his second bit was about being black, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm black, so the cops are gonna shoot me." So now the crowd's like, one lady in the crowd said, "Please stop," or like, "Not now."
Right.
And then he goes, "Well, I'm a comedian. I can tell jokes. These are jokes, people." Like, so he hadn't told a joke.
He kind of stole your line too.
"Well, I'm a comedian."
These are jokes,
that's,
people.
That's like, not my line. That's in the history of comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
These are the jokes.
Yeah. So then I go on, and then the crowd's good. Featured as well. The two comics do well. So I'm on stage, and there's like the audience in front of me, and then there's like an elevated audience where like you could sit on top, right? So what's up? Okay, cool. No problem. So Eves is here, but he forgot something in his car. So there's something elevated, right?
What do you think you forgot?
It's not me, Graham, I swear.
So I'm on stage, and I hear talking. And I look over, and the host and his girlfriend and his girlfriend's friends are just having a complete conversation while I'm on stage.
So he has courtesy, too, now.
So I let it go the first time. I'm like, all right, just ignore this. You know, let's just make the crowd laugh, and hopefully the laugh will... drown out their chatter. But it's one of those things where I would stop telling jokes and I still heard the chatter. And I just look at him like, bro, didn't I let you open? You asked me to open and I said, cool. And now you're going to talk through my whole set? And then he's like, and the girlfriend said, oh, it's because you're so funny or something obnoxious. And then they all got up and left. So that was.
Wow. That really, I got to be honest with you. That perfectly encapsulates young comedy.
That, no respect?
No respect, right. Completely entitled. Asks you for a spot, then acts like he starred on the show.
Right.
You know, like, you're welcome. Doesn't even, and has no sense of whether or not he did well or not, because he obviously didn't.
No.
And then he's over there talking like, right, I'm such a great fucking comedian. Like, this really is, that is, you know, because that's the mentality of young comedy.
I just think it's like, I remember one time I went into my commercial agent's office, and I like get there, and I'm like, and there's this girl, and she's like, I didn't know who she was, but she knew me. She's like, hey, Adam, how's it going? How's comedy? I'm like, oh, good. I'm like the road a lot. I'm like, what about you? You've been doing the road? She's like, no, but I'm doing really well on Vine. She's like, I'm like a Vine comic. I'm killing it on Vine. And I think there's this whole...
There's a part of you that wants to laugh that off.
Yeah.
But there's a part of you that's, you know, you hate that you have to take it seriously.
Because I know that, like... YouTube stars and Vine stars and Instagram stars are selling out comedy clubs. Yeah. I know comedians that are funny that are like, I'm like, that are doing well on the road. I go, how are you guys packing it? They go, oh, well, I go to the local town and I find the big Vine stars that live in the town and I have them open the show and they bring the whole crowd and I cut them a check or whatever. And I'm like, that's how we're doing it now, huh?
That's fucking brilliant.
Because 15 seconds of comedy is incredibly difficult. I think they need more credit than we're giving them.
It's unbelievable.
Well, and the bar for what is comedy is also lowered because you'll accept just looking at it and finding it amusing. If it's a Vine thing, you'll be like, oh, okay, that's comedy. But when you're on stage, the bar is much, much higher. You have to physically make people laugh.
Yeah.
And that is not easy, especially with these incredibly jaded audiences that we have today.
So that was my Thursday night. So Friday night, I get asked, my friend Samson, nice guy, he's like, hey, man, I want to do my show in Silver Lake. And I already know I'm not going to like it because Silver Lake is all hipsters. And sometimes I do well in those hipster crowds and sometimes I don't. You know, it's just a matter of like they get offended very easily sometimes. You know, So I get there and he's like,
very
hey, man.
Very sensitive.
Very sensitive. So I get there and he's like, the guy's like, oh, hey. A lot of used shirts. Hey, this is a new show where you do stand up and then you sing a karaoke song after your set.
Right.
Which already I'm like more nervous about the karaoke song than I am about my set.
Wait,
you know?
You have to sing karaoke?
Yeah, I have to sing karaoke.
This is a new requirement in comedy clubs?
In this show.
This is their show.
Their show. So he's like, what song do you want to sing? So I'm like, Midnight Hour by Billy Idol. Because I one time at a karaoke bar, that did really well when I sang it. But
okay,
I,
good. You're going to your comfort zone.
But I forgot that I was stoned and drunk when I sang it. So I don't think it really went as well as I thought it went.
Right.
So like,
in the light of day,
yeah.
Not so much.
So I get there. Eves, how's it going, man?
Hey, brother.
Hi, great to see you, man.
Good to see you.
So I get to this karaoke place and comedy show. And there's...
Karaoke place. I mean, comedy show.
So there's six people in the crowd.
Yeah.
And then six audience members. And then five comedians to the left. And all the comics are black. And all the audience members are white. And they're like... So, of course, I have to point that out. Like, I'm really happy.
Right, you have to say something.
So I'm doing okay, right? I'm doing okay. But then I start getting annoyed because I hate performing for comics. I just don't like, especially if it's, you know, one thing if there's comics in the back and it's a regular crowd, but when half the crowd are comics, because every time I would tell a joke, not every time, but a lot of times people go, that's funny. Or they would comment like, you know, they would make comments after each joke. Or one comic went, ba-dum, boom. I'm like,
God.
Really, dude? Like, really? You're going to give me a drum roll as a comic? So I can sense that I was getting annoyed at that.
Yeah.
So then I like screwed up because I started doing like improvising and there was one lady there with her boyfriend. The lady was laughing the most, and I was like, oh, come on, I know you have a good sense of humor. Look, you have low standards. And then the guy got very sensitive, being a hipster crowd, and got upset about me saying she had low standards. Normally people laugh it off.
Yeah.
And so then I lost them. So now I lost two out of the six people, which was a third of the crowd. And then after that, I got to do a karaoke song, which bombed so bad because no one wanted to hear Billy Idol, especially for me.
Totally.
And then after that, they canceled.
Especially if you kind of have Billy Idol hair right now. It's so spiky.
So then after that, they canceled the songs. After that. Then it just
you got the song fucking canceled.
And then it just became a comedy show.
Totally, like, let's not do those songs anymore.
That was bad. Saturday, though, it's just so funny, though, because this is how comedy is. Saturday, I drive
this
to Whittier.
This goes back to what I've said about how you don't have to say yes to your little voice in your head. Warned you, said this isn't your kind of scene. This isn't a crowd. But the old instinct won out. The old instinct of say yes to everything.
Yeah.
Which is how you feel your first decade in comedy. You say yes to everything.
I just like to look at a full schedule.
I know, but you're not a developing comedian.
You're an amazing comedian, but it seems like you were the major underdog at that night.
You know what? But it was one of those things. You know what? Then I'm beating myself up all night going like.
Which you shouldn't be.
All night I'm in a bad mood.
You can't help it.
I'm beating myself up all night.
But then
I'm
like,
but then I'm like, there were six people there. What the fuck is wrong with me? There were six people there. And most of them are laughing. And then I'm going over each joke and how they did in my head.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, this joke did well.
What did I say? And he's Jewish. I just said that.
This is like playing a round of golf, and then you finish, and you're like, hole one, I sucked. Hole two was even worse. Like, shit like that.
Exactly. And then
you're beating yourself up for no reason.
We're going to assume that's true.
So then Saturday night, I do this Mexican fundraiser in Whittier, right?
Yeah.
And it's 200 people, wall to wall.
These people love you.
I felt like I was the greatest comic in the world.
Of course.
Did you have mariachi music behind you again?
It was unbelievable. No mariachi music, but it was one of those things where, like, I went in there and I was the only white person in the room. So I'm like, it's nice to be here in Mexico. And I got a huge laugh. So I knew they were on board. Then I did the ha-ha with you afterwards.
Yeah.
Another set, knocked out of the park. You had one of the best sets I've ever seen in my life. Honestly, out of any comic. You didn't do one joke.
Not one.
You did crowd work for 25 minutes.
What?
And murdered.
Fuck.
And I wanted
to be there.
It was the best crowd work. And I've seen Jeff Ross, Lampanelli, this one, that one, Rich Voss. Best I've ever seen.
Thanks, brother. Wow.
I was like, holy shit. So
that's
I was,
something else.
Damn it. I was
really, really impressed with you, Greg. And then last night, I did a show. Where was I last night? I did a show. Oh, I did a cool show in Santa Monica with Laurie Kilmartin. Really funny.
Oh, right on.
Funny show. And then tonight, I'm nervous because I got to do the Scott Baio golf fundraiser, right? So Scott Baio has this charity. He thought his daughter...
Is it called his career?
No. So Scott's daughter...
It's his way of reminding people he exists.
No, listen to me. You would love to have Scott Baio's career.
I would kill for Scott Baio's career and the pussy.
So, all right. So it was one of those things where... I'm on Last Comic Standing like 5 years ago. Oh, no, what was it? 2008? It was more than that. It was like eight years ago. And
feels like just 10 years
just
ago.
Feels like last. So I get an email from Scott Baio's wife, Renee, going, me and Scott are rooting for you. We're really big fans. I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a fake account. Yeah, Scott Baio is really rooting for me. I'm like, all right, well, come to my show. It's half off. Next thing I know, Scott and Renee show up. I'm like, holy shit, that really was Scott Baio.
Wow.
So then I become friends with him. Since then, we became friends. And he put me on his TV show, See Dad Run.
Right.
We hang out. We have smoking cigars sometimes. Or he smokes and I tell him stories. So a couple years ago, so they had a baby that was born and they said it was sick. It had this disease. Turns out the baby was. It was a false positive. But they still, every year, raise tons of money for kids who really have those diseases, even though their kid doesn't. And they had me do this fundraiser a couple years ago, and I get there, and they have a little kids' fashion show of all these, like, five-year-olds and then they had me as the comedy. And they said, be totally clean. And they had an auction there afterwards. This thing went so bad that afterwards, they were trying to auction off art, and the auctioneer goes, if you guys don't bid on this, I'm bringing the comic back up. And then people started bidding. That's how bad it went, right? But they keep...
But they, you don't forget that one. You feel that for a while.
But they keep bringing me back. Right. But it's so funny. It was funny also. Scott was like, one of the things with a round of golf with Scott Baio. That's what you win at the auction. Scott hates playing with people so much, he was bidding against everyone else. And then people started bidding just so they could play with him.
What kind of, I hope he doesn't do a speech at this, because what kind of speech do you give when you guys, thank you guys so much for coming out and giving your time and your money to help find a cure for this incredible, this incredibly debilitating disease that my child almost had. I mean, my child doesn't have it. I'm very lucky. But like, you people, wow.
But when you see...
I feel so bad for you. If golf could make your child feel better, I will
listen,
play that.
No, listen. When you see the money, though, that they've raised for these kids...
No, I know. It's just like, funny. I mean, it's just like...
Right.
I almost know what you're going through. So, okay, guys?
So, you know, Scott's a huge Republican. I mean, spoke at the Republican National Convention.
He's out there now for that one.
And then, like, the special guest speaker tonight is, like, Kurt Schilling. Like, Kurt Schilling's coming.
Also, really?
Yeah.
Trump's buddy, yeah.
Nice.
You want to come and get some graphs?
No.
So, anyway, but the part of me wants to do all my Trump jokes. Just to see what will happen, because it's going to be all Republicans in the crowd.
Yeah, I don't know if it can go any worse than the last one.
That was a couple times ago. They keep bringing me back, and I keep getting cleaner and cleaner. The last one went really well, but then yesterday she was like, "Hey, do a whole different set than last time," and I'm like, "That was the cleanest 30 minutes I had." You know, so I don't know what.
Well, on the upside though, your material isn't that memorable, so they probably you can do the.
Damn, dude!
I'm just playing, man. You know I love your comedy. I'm just joking.
I know.
So, I'm just joking.
Anyway, Eeps, you big TV last week. You were all over TV. How's it going, man?
It's going well, man. I'm sorry, I'm running on CPT today.
No worries.
I'm glad you said it, so we didn't have to. Yeah.
No, but it was good. It was a whole lot of fun. It was fun to see Cyborg get her second fight in the UFC. There were some good fights on that card. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed being at the studio, calling the fights from the desk.
Yeah.
That's always a lot of fun, you know.
Now, are you guys talking crap off camera and saying and laughing and making jokes and just bust, and then all of a sudden it comes on and you guys are all proper? Is that what's going on?
You know how it is.
That's how it is. You know that's what's going on.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, the Fox, you know, morning football guys, same thing when the games are going on. Same thing. They're talking all kinds of shit about the coaches.
Yeah.
You got to know that's
Yeah, but we're not talking crap about a lot of the fighters. Because, you know, that stuff is, most of that stuff up there is recorded. You don't want
something
to get out if you're messing with people.
Smart.
But on top of that, I mean, it's Kenny and I. So everybody up there that's an analyst has been in the octagon. So, you know, you're not going to talk anything you wouldn't say to someone's face.
Right.
So it's all good.
And Greg, how was your weekend?
Oh, it was a good weekend. You saw the show. That was fun. That was a blast. You know, and it was weird too, because I wanted to do some blow. At that show, because someone that was there had some blows, like, you want to do a bump? And everything in me, of course, was like, fuck yeah, I want to do a bump. But cocaine throws off my timing.
Yes.
Cocaine is not good for my show. It does. And so I was like, Greg, you don't do the coke.
Right.
I was going to say, it doesn't throw off John's timing.
Absolutely.
Not at all. It makes it faster.
Yeah.
But for me, for comedy, it speeds things. You know, for me, it makes things too fast. And so I was like, don't do the coke. Don't do the coke. And I'm like, Greg, come on, be a professional. Of course, my idea of professional is just getting drunk, not doing the coke. That's what a professional is. So,
did you do the coke after the show?
Well, of course. But before, but I didn't do it before the set. And then I wound up having that incredibly good set. And I felt like it was because I didn't do the coke.
You don't need to do coke. You're already fucked up.
Exactly. So I didn't do the coke.
You've done enough coke where even if you're not on coke, you're on coke.
Totally. Like, I just scrape out my own sinuses and get high.
Yeah.
It's totally fine.
Dude, if you sat in a sauna for 3 hours, you might have, like, a reaction of where the coke would kick back in because it's
in your
body.
Well, I think we're pretty safe.
Yeah.
Not everybody has 3 hours for a sauna.
That's why they call you the stat guy.
Okay, trust fund.
All right, so I'm kidding. So
when my grandfather left me the sauna, you know, I didn't realize you could use it to actually jerky human flesh. But in fact, you can. That's where I make all my human flesh jerky.
Thank you, CB. I had no idea.
That's right.
It's coming out. So, by the way,
CB Gold's Jerky Gold.
Yes.
It's coming out. It's all dipped in gold, human flesh, steamed in my grandfather's sauna.
Nice. So, CB, how was your weekend?
Weekend was good. Watched all the fights.
Yes.
Got tattooed. Watched golf yesterday.
No, what'd you get?
Let's see it. Oh, the neck thing.
You got family.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, does that say 1957?
54. 54. And the other side says 51.
And those are the year your parents were born?
Yeah. And then watched the tour championship yesterday. Was really happy with Rory winning. And was sad to see that Arnold Palmer passed away yesterday.
Yeah, it sucked. But Gene Palmer, not Gene Palmer, Robert Duchesne, funny comic. He goes, Arnold Palmer died today. One in hole. I was like, that's fucking ridiculous. But it's pretty damn funny.
Oh, by the way, you know what happened on Friday? I went to do this fundraiser event, and it was at a venue, a bar venue, where the last show I did, I bombed.
Right.
It was a misery.
And that could screw you up a little
right.
bit.
Right. So I was in my head, like, you know what I mean? Like, this is your comeback fight. Like, you need to, you know what I mean? Like, something about that room defeated me. So I was really nervous going into it. I was really in my head. I'm like, Greg, this is a different show. You know what to do this time. Just keep it to bar jokes. Don't try and do anything pithy. Right. Just do straight up fucking cocaine, dick, fucking weed, whatever.
Isn't that your act?
It can be.
Right, go on. It can
be.
Go on.
It doesn't have to be.
Go on.
Like you, I've worked to develop a lot of other material,
yeah.
You know, to meet the need. So I went in there, and I was like, luckily I wasn't closing. So I was like, perfect. So long as I'm not closing.
Why?
I go right in the middle. Because, you know, the pressure's always on the closer.
I like when you close.
And so, well, I just felt for this venue.
Yeah.
I felt very fortunate to be in the middle slice. I'm going to crush a middle slice.
Right.
So I got out there, and sure enough, it was one of those things where, like, nobody sat in the front. Everybody sat two tables back. You know, that's where they started and went back from there. So it was a bit of a little disconnect with the energy. But once I got them going, I was like, okay, all right, that's right. I'm funny. I got it. And I was able to settle in and actually had a pretty good set.
Nice.
And I felt completely recovered.
I can't believe you bombed at a bar. It's crazy.
Oh, my God. I know. It was so bad.
Where was this bar?
It was in Pico Rivera.
Oh,
and, you know, the Latino crowds, they love the Latino jokes.
Yeah. And I asked the question again.
And I don't really do Latino jokes.
I have the question
again. Even
though
I am Mexican.
Was there mariachi music behind you?
Yes, there was.
The key, I found that the key to a bar gigs was short jokes.
Absolutely. Short jokes and dirty jokes.
Yeah, people do not have an
attention. They like it. Just keep it waist level. Shit jokes, big time.
Stories do not work in bars, in my opinion.
Yeah, shit, sex,
unless you have a
drugs,
really nice...
alcohol, all that bar shit, that works great in bars.
So let's talk about some of the fights that happened this weekend.
Yeah.
Now,
I like talking about comedy, man.
It's like
I know.
It's funny to me because I don't know how you guys get up there and everybody's like, oh, you used to fight and fighting. How do you get out there? And that doesn't mean anything to me. It's just like, I don't care about everybody watching, just the guy in front of me.
Yeah.
But when you speak
in
front of somebody.
That's how he feels
when he has sex. Just the guy in front of him.
Just the guy in front of him. When you speak in front of a bunch of people, I mean, you're looking them in the eyes the whole time. That scares the shit out of me, man.
There's a lot of similarities between fighting and comedy. The good thing about comedy is if you bomb, you have the next night or even the next show an hour later.
Yeah.
A fight, if you get knocked out, it's not like you have to wait 6 months.
Oh.
That's 6 months you have to live with yourself. Unless you're on TV and you bomb on The Tonight Show or you bomb on Comedy Central or something where it's like you can't really get that back. But normally a show, you can get back the next night.
Recent history tells us you can bomb on an entire special and they hand you a sitcom.
Yeah, that's true. Now, let's talk about Cyborg. Cyborg, I understand what Joe Rogan's saying as far as 140 is just too much of a cut. She's a girl at 145. She's that good. Here's the problem. Someone who follows Invicta, there are not that many girls at 145. There's like three girls. There's Megan Anderson. There are those two girls, Julia Budd and the girls over at Bellator, right?
Marlos Kunin.
Marlos Kunin.
You got like,
there's Charmaine Tweed.
Charmaine Tweed, Amanda Bell. Couple other girls, but yeah, it is a very, in terms of what they're talking about, in terms of the flyweight girls and the featherweight girls, at 125, there is a plethora of talent around the world. You know, Titan now has the 125, and the 125 in Invicta is a big division. 145, yeah, and you know what? With those three girls, Charmaine already lost to Cyborg. Amanda Bell lost to Megan Anderson, so of course she'd probably lose to Cyborg. And Megan, and that's Megan and Cyborg, if you watch Invicta, is the biggest 145 fight there is right now.
And as much as I love Megan, I don't think she's ready for Cyborg.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people are ready for her, but that's because she's ahead of the pack. She's well ahead of the pack. To build something, though, you can build something around someone. Ronda was ahead of the game for a long time. I mean, we don't know if Holly could have beaten Ronda a year or two before she did, but that was a thought in people's head that that was going to be the challenge for her. But at the same time, Holly was able to gain skills in her game, get better and get better. There are a lot of women that compete in combat sports outside of MMA that if you open that division in the UFC, there's no money in women for boxing. Clarissa Shields, girl who just won the gold medal. You know, she won a gold medal 4 years ago. She won the gold medal this time. There's really nothing for her after that. There's not a whole lot of push behind her in boxing. But if she can learn some takedown defense, start training for MMA 2-3 years from now, she could be a challenge.
Could Cyborg fight men? Honestly, at 145.
Yes.
Legally? No.
Yeah, I was thinking about UFC going back to an Indian reservation.
I'm talking about men like you or me.
No, no. No, but how would she do in Bellator 145?
Oh, it's one of those situations where she is tough. She's an exception to the rule. But I don't know how much of an exception she is. When you take the highest level athletes, men or women, in any sport, when you put them in the same room, then you assume that the man is going to be stronger, faster, and better at the game. Cyborg is different, and it's possible that she could, but again, she's not going to be at the elite level. She can't compete against the elite men at 145, but she can compete probably against the garbage men and some of the guys in the UFC also. She can beat probably almost any guy that's not qualified to be in the UFC that has MMA fights at 145.
Really? Like, you think she could beat guys in Titan FC at 145?
Some of those guys are exceptional. Also, they just haven't got the shot. But are there some guys in Titan that I think she can beat? Yeah. I'm not going to call any names, but I think it's possible.
I mean, I think there's certain guys lower ranked on the Bellator 145 roster and even the UFC roster that
she can beat.
She's bigger.
Have you ever rolled with her?
I have not rolled with her. I'm looking forward to doing that, though. I want to train with her, and I will have a much better idea of who she can compete with if I were to train with her, whether she beats me up or not.
Have you ever rolled with a hot chick?
Yeah.
Is it weird? Like, sometimes, like, knowing that...
It wasn't weird. It wasn't weird with my wife, but before that, it was.
Yeah.
You know?
Wait, your wife trains?
She trains, but her jiu-jitsu is not good. She's more of a kickboxer.
I actually had a...
But her jiu-jitsu is not good. More of a kickboxer.
One of my first jiu-jitsu classes was probably one of the most uncomfortable experiences I've ever had, because I was learning, and it was literally like my first or second day in gi jiu-jitsu, and I end up, we're doing armbar drills from mount with partners, and I get partnered up with the coach's girlfriend, and what they wanted me to do first time, of course, if you've done jiu-jitsu, you know this, is put your hands like on her on the chest, and then try to roll and throw your legs over, and I'm like, I would have to put my hands on her chest, on her boobs.
So what did you do,
like, armbar? Well, like an armbar drill?
Yeah,
or
like when you put your flat-handed against the chest, and then you kind of roll and grab the arm, throw the legs over.
So CB,
uncomfortable.
CB, how did this turn out?
Well, I've never put my hands on a pair of breasts that I didn't cut off 5 minutes later. So it was, you know, that was the hardest part, was to not pull out my blade and slice them off and make delicious pepperoni slices.
Oh, okay. Wow. Wow, he has a knife on him right now. That's
clean, isn't it?
Why do you have a knife, CB?
I carry around a pocket knife.
Why?
Open
for titties,
protection,
whatever I need.
Yeah, but
I've never stabbed anybody. Or
I know.
He opens up whatever he needs. Didn't you just hear that? He opens up girls, cats, chickens, and the occasional
postal service worker. Took the pickup line from Tanya, but it hasn't worked that well
what
for
was
me.
That?
I got a knife and some fingers. One of them's going in you tonight.
Oh my god! Tanya told us that.
You don't remember that?
Yeah,
Tanya used that pickup line. Oh, except my. It's with a girl to a girl. It works a lot better.
I was
going to
say
me.
Yeah, it works a little bit better when you're Tanya.
I got a solution to your problem with doing a spinning armbar drill with a woman, though. The arm that you're attacking, have her put the other arm that you're not attacking across her boobs.
That's actually a good idea.
Put your hands on her hand.
I just don't train with the gi anymore, so I haven't had that issue in a long time.
Okay. I don't use that technique.
Yeah, it was
but
like, yeah,
you can do that.
Super uncomfortable. I'm like, this is weird.
All right, so, but yeah, I mean, look, my little brother, Max, who I love, calls me up. He's like, dude, I have a feeling Lena's gonna win tonight. I'm like, why? I'm like, she's not gonna win. He's like, no, man, Cyborg's weight cut went terrible. And a part of me thinks that, like, yes, that was a horrible weight cut, but they were also putting it out there for everyone to see.
Right.
Which makes me believe...
Kind of make it sound like it might be more of a competition.
Yeah, and I think that was actually good for betters, because I mean, you're like, oh, this is a terrible weight cut. But do you not think that Cyborg's going to rehydrate and gain 40 pounds overnight and just come out there like a fucking bull and... pounce on her. That's what happens every single time.
Yeah, she was saying that her strategy was to possibly weather the storm. That's a tough storm
to
weather.
That's a bad strategy. You know?
I mean, when has that really ever worked? Weathering against a guy like Anthony Johnson. I mean, except for Ali Foreman, but that was in round like 7. You know, there's only you only get 3 or 5 rounds in MMA. Weathering storms is probably not a good strategy.
It's a long round at 5 minutes.
Yeah,
I think Lena Landsberg just delayed the inevitable. I mean, she got the clinch. She was holding her up. She was trying to land. But I'm like, if Cyborg gets loose, she throws one hand. And I mean, I was surprised that Lena didn't get knocked out on the feet. But Cyborg was taking her down. I'm like, this is new. I haven't seen this one in a while.
It seems that every girl, when they get hit by a Cyborg, they do this thing where they turn away. And they go, get me the fuck out of here.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Of
but,
course.
But,
I honestly felt Cyborg was enjoying it. And kept it going.
Yeah.
Right?
She did have a smile on her
face. There was
right?
a smile
did,
that flashed where she's like, this is great. And what would happen, because when she would start landing the punches in the face, she would let up just long enough for the girl kind of collect herself again and then go back, because she would sense the ref coming. You know, she knew. Yeah. I felt like she sensed he's about to call it, and she would let up for a second, because I really honestly felt she was genuinely enjoying beating the shit out of this girl. She enjoyed the clinches, like, okay, this will buy you some time. Okay.
It's like a chick giving you head and knowing you're about to come, and then she stops and starts talking to you. You never, I've had that before. Where like, hey,
or ask you what you want for your birthday.
Yeah, what do you want for your birthday? Or, and then they go back. And, you know,
just do what I do. You say, hey, no one's paying you to talk.
Have you ever been to a hooker before?
What's that?
You ever been to a hooker?
Of course.
Why?
Because I'm a man. Are you fucking cuckoo? Haven't you ever been to a hooker?
No.
You've never even paid for a hand job?
No.
Well, then you're a better person than me or a big fat fucking liar. I want to get a fucking polygraph in here right now, and we'll all polygraph whether or not we've at least paid for a handy, because I think we're all going to fail that test.
All right, let's go.
I will say about Cyborg real quick before you move on from that subject. There is a girl. She fought that girl.
I paid someone that looked just like Cyborg to eat my ass for 30 minutes, but she would only do it after I'd taken a swim.
Dude, there was a chick in Vegas that used to love eating my ass.
Oh, that's so weird.
And like, she went right to it. Like, she went right to it.
Some girls are nasty
and,
like that.
And one time I was like... I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm really... And then I heard her hurling in the bathroom afterwards, and I'm like, I don't...
What? Yeah. Oh, my God!
I'm like, I don't really think I was that clean. Like,
what do you think? You made her vomit.
Yeah, pretty much. But, like, that's her fetish. Like, she had, like, an eating ass fetish.
And that's the thing. You wonder who... Okay, do they fantasize about eating ass? Are they like... I want to, or is it something that happens one time and they're like, oh my God, I got to do that again. Like, I didn't realize it about myself, but I love to eat fucking chocolate donuts.
Yeah. Crazy.
Crazy.
Have you ever had a girl eat your ass for?
No. No. But
have you ever eat a girl's ass?
No.
Oh, why not?
Because no.
That you got to do.
No, I keep kosher.
I've eaten girls' asses.
Yeah, of course. Asian girls
I'm
especially.
I'm trying to think of my
Eve, you?
Look at this. Look at that smile. Look at it. It's like, I gotta come stop.
I'm married, man. I gotta keep my
Right. Yeah, yeah. But
between the sheets, information under wraps.
Well, obviously not with your wife. We're not talking about your wife. She's a classy lady. Yeah. What we're talking about is the whores before her.
I don't know how to answer that question other than, I mean, you see the look on my face, right? So you know what's happened in my
our
life.
Our viewers don't, or our listeners don't. But,
yeah. All right, so.
So there's one person
I'm smiling
I see,
really broadly right now.
Like what Eva was talking about, of bringing these girls from different combat sports over. The Muay Thai fight that Cyborg lost against that girl, I think Jorina Bars. I would like to see her come over and do a rematch in MMA and see how that would go.
I don't know how good that will go, though, because her MMA record record is like 1-4.
Really?
I just want to see the rematch because they had that Muay Thai fight and everybody's like, Cyborg got killed by that Muay Thai fighter. I'm like, number one, she was one of the best in the world and it wasn't MMA. It was just strictly Muay Thai.
1-4? What is she, one of the four horsewomen?
No, she's the girl that they brought in with the 2 weeks experience a while ago.
That's right.
That you were talking about. That actually got another fight. You're like, oh, we've been training 2 years. Let's bring her in.
Let's bring her back. She got another fight.
Danielle Taylor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
So speaking of the fights last week, so the Roy Nelson fight, Bigfoot Silva. I was actually impressed by Bigfoot the first round because I thought he was going to go down. He went down on a Stefan Struve jab. I thought he took a lot of Roy's big punches, which is maybe he didn't expect it from Struve and he expected it from Roy. It lasted longer than I expected.
Me too.
But then Roy afterwards didn't like the fact that it wasn't stopped in time and kicked the ref in the ass, Big John.
Yeah.
Big John, I know him personally, is one of the coolest, nicest, fairest guys I've ever met. And Roy, you can't go around kicking refs in the ass. It sets a really bad precedent, and I expect a fine.
Yeah, of course. And when they showed it in the replay, because then you got to see, okay, did he wait too long? He maybe could have stopped it one punch earlier. Maybe. But I thought there wasn't that much extra time between him going down and him looking like he was actually incapacitated.
Eves?
Yeah, it was. You'd think of Jason High, who got cut for not really kicking the ref in the ass. But Big John is a good ref. He's been there since the beginning. He knows what he's doing. And you've seen guys get hit again and wake back up. Bigfoot wasn't obviously out. The fight wasn't obviously over. And if Roy would have walked away, it wasn't a Mark Hunt walk-off knockout. If Roy would have walked away, Pizal could have gotten back up and continued to fight, I think. I think Big John did the right thing and made him finish the fight. Like, you have to finish fights. I'm sorry if the guy's your friend. He's my friend, too, but
so
that's the way it goes.
And Roy was the only guy. I remember at the award show a couple years ago, Roy was such a jerk to me. Like, I was giving him his, like, lines, and the lines weren't the funniest lines in the world because they said that, we don't want to offend anybody, and that I had to rewrite it 7 times. And Roy's like, I'm funnier than you. You're a comedian. I should be a comedian. So finally, I was like, all right, Roy, you're so funny. Oh, why don't you open up for me this week at the LA Comedy Club? I'll make it happen, right? So then he's like, really? I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
Of course.
So then I called the LA Comedy Club. Roy called the club to see if he really was on the bill. They said sure. And then at the last minute, Roy was like, I have something to do that night. I can't make it down. I'm like, but you called the club. He's like, someone else called the club. Nobody else was in the room but me or you. Who else would possibly know? So Roy never came down to do his set. But since then we've like made up and yada yada yada. But he's sometimes he's difficult to work with. I know
the most fan friendly either.
He could.
I wouldn't imagine he would be.
He's I've met him many times. There was a private signing somewhere that he was doing, and even there, and it was like. It was like pulling teeth, trying to just even talk to him. He's just like, eh.
I mean, and to think that you can kick the ref, you can't kick a ref if you don't like the call after you win. But at the same time, look, will I watch Roy Nelson fight every single time? Absolutely. Roy Nelson's in the octagon, I'm putting on TV.
Yeah.
So,
but are you watching because you want to see him get knocked, see when he gets knocked out again? Or are you just watching because you like how he fights?
I think it's a combination of somebody who just can't believe that this guy's a real fighter and how much power he has and how unathletic he looks, but how athletic he is.
Yes.
It seems like you could just attack his stomach all day and it would eventually get to him, but it doesn't. Like, I've seen him take huge shots to the stomach and you think nothing.
His chin, too. He might have the best chin in MMA history.
Yeah.
I remember, though, on The Ultimate Fighter, Dana White saying, Roy Nelson's very impressed with himself this year. Like, I thought that was... It's so funny.
Well, Dana's one of the guys that has always said, you know, he's one of the worst to deal with. Like, even for Dana, and I know Dana's got problems with a lot of people and whatnot, but he said, Roy is one of the toughest to deal with. I hate it. Like... It's the worst, and you know what? It seems like it's across the board that he's just a tough character.
I do feel like I hope he doesn't get cut. I never want to see a guy lose his job, but it would be fun to see him in Bellator because of how like the WWE element they seem to make it, and he's such a perfect character. You know, like Roy Nelson versus Mitrione 2 would be a good fight. Roy Nelson knocked out Chuck Congo. I would almost think that he might be the champ at Bellator.
I think he could.
Yeah,
they're talking about a four-man tournament coming up for the heavyweight title in Bellator.
Really?
Bobby Lashley told me that last week, and he said, you know,
he
after
told you that, or you heard him say it while he told me in one of his crevices.
No, he told me. And he said, you know, after I fight Eric Appelt soon, they're looking at a four-man tournament for the heavyweight championship of Bellator. And
that would be fun.
It would be. I mean, you got Congo, Mitrione, Bobby Lashley if he wins. And, you know, Roy would be nice. I don't think he's not going to get cut. And I don't think
Pays
he's
out, Mike, though.
Pays out, yeah. That's definite possibility. Oh, yeah. He's on a 3 or 4 fight loss streak right now.
Roy Nelson, Bobby Lashley would be hilarious. Because you have one guy that looks like the most, like the Hulk.
Like an Adonis?
Adonis. And the other guy looks like, you know,
Duck Dynasty.
The Kool-Aid guy. Yeah, Duck Dynasty. But I would say Roy would be the favorite.
Yeah, his skill level has to be higher in MMA. Bobby can wrestle. Bobby's a big, strong guy. But his submission game and his striking game
isn't
on the level.
What is it about Bobby? You look at Bobby Lashley and you think, this guy has it all, even with the wrestling credentials. And then he goes in there and he sometimes wins. He loses to, like, James Thompson and other guys. But
he lost to Chad Griggs in Strikeforce a long time ago.
But there's something about him that just doesn't resonate with the fans.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think Bobby does well to taking shots. You know, that's when things change for him. When he gets hit, the game changes. When he's not in control, he can be the hammer, but it's harder for him to be the nail.
Is he your old teammate?
Yeah, he is.
How is he in practice and stuff?
He works hard. You know, he works real hard. He's an athlete, though, and I think sometimes guys come in with this, they have this pedigree already, and they want to lean towards that, and they don't really want to spread their wings and try to pick up other skills.
Yep. That makes total sense.
I know girls that are like that.
Now, I got to say, really? Like, what kind of girls?
Don't want to spread their wings? Try something new?
Now, do you and your fiancé do anal at all or no?
No, of course not.
Never?
She's a princess.
Never once?
Do you and your fiancé do anal?
No.
Well, there you go, then.
We joke about it, but we never actually did it.
Yeah, no. It's not. Yeah. Why would I do that to whores? I don't do that to my wife.
Really?
What, are you crazy?
Jesus. All right. Okay. No, listen.
But you don't pay. Oh, no. You don't pay. Oh, no. So eventually you're going to have to do it to poor Bree. Poor Bree's going to have to, because you don't pay. So, you know, we'll just leave that right there. You guys chime in on Twitter. Will
pay. Do not chime in on Twitter. Do not chime in that on Twitter. Now they're going to.
Will I can't wait to see how many people chime in on whether or not Adam will eventually pay for anal. That's going to be
great. I'm not a big... I've done anal before.
With enough tips, maybe.
Totally, yeah. You guys, let's make this happen. Tip the show so that Adam can enjoy anal.
I've done anal before, twice with girls, once by accident. Just like we were doing doggy style, and then I just went to the wrong hole, you know?
Good work. How loose is her ass, though?
I have a story. Please. I was a kid. I was a kid. I was seriously.
Wait a minute. What kind of story is this? Oh boy! Get out the clippers. I don't know if we can air this.
All right, go on.
So, I skipped school and I'm hanging out with my girlfriend. I'm a senior in high school. My girlfriend's a senior, and I just remember she's on top, and I just remember her leaning over, whispering in my ear, "That shit hurt," and that was it. And later I found out that it was the wrong hole.
Butt.
Yeah, it wasn't my fault. It was her fault.
Nice. Now, you wearing a rubber or no?
Yeah.
So now, when you took it out, was it all brown? Your dick's brown anyway, so just
yeah, I guess I couldn't see.
He was like, did I forget to put on the condom? Oh no, it's on there. Oh, that's it. Okay.
No. All right.
When did I get dick stripes?
I gotta say, over the weekend, Ryzen. Happened. I don't know if you watched Ryzen.
I didn't watch the whole show.
I was on at 2 o'clock in the morning. I got back from... I tried to watch it. I watched Darren Kruschenk look great. Won his fight against a really good kickboxer. Smart wrestler. Took him down. Couldn't get him out. My girl, Kyla Batera.
Mogwai.
Yeah, Mogwai lost.
She went up a good fight, though.
And went up a weight class. You know, 105 to 15. However, the star of the show was Crazy Horse. I sent you the clip.
Yes, yes.
That dude, first of all, his record is 30-29, and he fought a guy that was 0-0. I don't know who would sanction that fight.
Japan.
Japan.
Yeah.
I guess.
That's why they went over there.
I guess if his last name's Kimura, they figured he knew. I mean, if your last name is a move, they just. So he went out there and won. First, the whole time, if you guys know the backstory, him and Vanderlei Silva, allegedly he was got into a fight backstage, right?
At a Pride, yeah.
At a Pride Shockwave. It was like who's he fighting against?
I don't remember who Crazy Horse fought.
Crazy Horse was fighting someone backstage, and they were giving him instructions. And Crazy Horse was winning the fight. The whole Brazilian shoot-off camp was there, and then the guy put Crazy Horse in a triangle in a street fight. And supposedly Crazy Horse went out, and then got up, and Vanderlei Silva was standing there. And the word is Crazy Horse took a swing, knocked out Vanderlei, knocked him out cold, and then he went on and fought that night, right? Now, that's the rumor because there is a tape and there's the tape skips to when he gets up. Supposedly the Brazilians didn't put the tape out. I think it was Arona, right? Was it an Arona?
It was Arona. He got triangle after he wasn't it the triangle after he dropped?
Was it after Vanderlei? Or before?
Yeah, because they put him to sleep in the triangle.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. Okay,
wait,
so
it was Arona.
Was
could
it
have been Cristiano Marcelo?
I think it was Marcelo. I think it was Cristiano, a smaller guy that choked him out.
Okay, so now it's 10 years later, right? And Crazy Horse is fighting, and Vanderlei is in the corner of this guy, Kimura. And the whole time, Crazy Horse is talking to the camera, saying, "You remember what happened? You remember?" Somebody called him like the "Oh Dirty Bastard" of MMA, which is a very, very good analogy, right? So then he goes out there, knocks this dude out in 6 seconds, does like five flips, and then starts simulating jerking off. And then
finally
calls himself the N-word and runs out of the ring. It was one of the most entertaining 6 minutes in the history of any sport.
He takes the mic away from the announcer, lays down in the ring, and does his post-fight interview laying down.
Yeah, while pretending he jerked off. It was crazy. Now, I remember Crazy Horse. The first time I watched him was when he knocked out KJ Nunes. And that was huge. The dude, I think he went on like an 8-fight losing streak for a while. It seems like he's one of those dudes that if he's in the gym has unlimited potential, but doesn't seem to really. I think he's been arrested supposedly 12 or 13 times. You know, he's had some issues in his life.
He's the guy that you will see outside of the convenience store. If MMA didn't exist, Crazy Horse would be the guy that you would see outside the convenience store that you don't know if he's high on drugs or if he's really crazy. But as soon as somebody pops off at him, he will knock them out.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Dangerous.
So the
lesson here is don't confront the crazy guy outside the 7-Eleven. He might be an MMA master.
So Ryzen's happening. So now Crow Cop won his fight. So now he's fighting Vanderlei December 29th in Ryzen. Gabby Garcia won her fight. She weighed 240.
She weighed, I think, 245.
She's a treat.
How would she do against Cyborg?
Well,
with
first
the size
friends.
Difference.
They're friends. They've trained together. Cyborg helped her prepare for her first Ryzen fight. You know, I think it'd be interesting. Number one, it'd have to be an open weight. But Cyborg on the feet will destroy her. But if Gabby gets to the ground, you're not matching Gabby's jiu-jitsu.
Now you said you You said you would love to bang.
I didn't
Gabby
say love. I said I would.
You would.
And I've
Gabby.
Said this since the first episode I've been on this show, which was January 12th.
Now, why would
year.
You bang Gabby?
I don't know. I think naked jiu-jitsu would be kind of fun.
She would kill you. You wouldn't be able to get one sweep. You would get.
I don't
want
to sweep. If she was on top, fuck yeah, I don't have to do shit.
Oh man, I don't. She would murder you, CB.
It's like you and Gabby Garcia, you and Caitlyn Jenner. You
guys. So what's yours? Speaking so what's which, yours?
Speaking of which,
you got it. Yeah, don't lie.
Did you see the meme of you, Cyborg, and Caitlyn Jenner that Joe Jaggi made?
Yeah.
Is it new? Was it today?
It came
no,
out
it was the other day.
Yesterday. I was very involved in football yesterday, so I didn't look at the Twitter.
Yeah,
you're blowing Caitlyn Jenner, and you're taking it in the ass from Cyborg.
And it's not even like he even covered the things.
I didn't
things.
Even
want to
fucking... Yeah, I didn't want to retweet it because I was like...
I couldn't retweet
it's
it.
It's too filthy.
I looked at
way
it.
Way to go, Jaggi. You finally crossed the line. Oh, there it is. Ooh, that's brutal.
I looked
and
at
then
it.
Yours with the dick pic, yeah. That was a little much too.
Well, that's like, actually real size.
Yeah, okay. Joe's been going a little crazy, and we're not talking about Joe Perez
and
here.
And why do we have a bunch of hypodermic needles? Well, I mean, I get the rest
it's
of
to
it.
To satisfy, no, he redid it to satisfy Joe because he's used to girls with
needles. Oh, with needles. So now you got to put Joe's head in if there are needles. Although I gotta tell you though, Caitlin looks pretty good.
Like this one,
that's
like this one of Joe's girlfriend.
That's awesome.
I would have retweeted that. She's got a vegan burger.
A garden burger. That's great. Oh.
Joe went on a rampage this weekend. It was fucking hilarious.
Dude, no shit. Joe was your wife out of town or something?
Well, I met Joe in Cleveland. He looks like the most normal, nicest guy.
Or I got a pic with the fucking actor.
I know. We did a show. I did a show, and there was this crazy-looking guy who I thought was Joe Jaggi. And the whole time on the stage, I'm like, hey, Joe, thanks for coming, right? I get off. It's this nerdy guy with glasses with, like, a very pretty girlfriend who looks like she's annoyed at the fact that he's spending his time doing this. You know, like, she gave us – you ever meet one of those girlfriends, Greg?
Yeah.
After a show where the girl's upset that the boyfriend's laughing at you, I get that a lot. I'm sure you meet that, right? As a fighter, you meet like the girlfriend of the guy who's a big fan of yours,
yeah.
And she's pissed that he's taking her time.
Yeah, yeah. She's sitting there. She's got that look on her face, you know. And yeah, you hate that shit. You're like, why are you with her?
Yeah, why are you?
There's so many other ones out there.
Exactly.
I get that a lot.
Now we'll talk about Invicta for a second. You know, it's crazy because I was going to put some bets on Invicta because, you know, I think I know women fighting. I think as far as women fighting, I'm usually 19 for 20 so far on bets. It's easier to call the girls than the guys because usually I think there's a, you know, I feel like the guys are a little bit more, not all of them, but a lot of them are more, it's just closer. You know, a lot of times.
Yeah.
Times
there's a lot more guys.
A lot of times the 3 versus 9 girl, it's a huge disparity versus the 3 versus 9 guy. You know, you get Matt Brown versus Jake Ellenberger. You get like that. You don't see a lot of that.
Working with Neil Magny,
right? Exactly.
Eddie Alvarez and RDA.
Pull my books out.
My favorite, Jimmy Rivera.
Exactly. Right. But Invicta. So Tiffany Timebaum came over, and I was like, Tiffany Timebaum, champion in Lion. They're going to build her up. They gave her a college wrestler. Her first
and
MMA
she was a
fight.
A Marine.
College wrestler, which
50 cal.
Not the girl you want to fight in your first MMA fight coming over from kickboxing. And what do you think happened?
She took her right down.
Took her down.
Multiple times.
Choked her out. And I don't know. I think it's, you know, whose fault is this? It's number one, it's Tiffany Timebaum's fault. You got to be prepared. Okay. But
matchmaking.
The matchmaking and the manager. The manager of Tiffany Timebaum, when they offer you a girl, I think it's your job to go, well, look, no, we don't want this as our first fight. We see college wrestling. Fucking, first of all, there's 9 colleges in the country that have women wrestling. And there may be 11. So if you're a female wrestler in college, you really want to wrestle, okay? And you're going to those colleges for wrestling. It's not like guy wrestling and so where you could walk on. You can't really walk on to a female wrestler. It's like, so a female wrestler in college is going to have an advantage in MMA. Yeah. Women's MMA especially. You got the Carla Esparza. I'm looking at a female wrestler in college. You got the ones off my head are Carla Esparza, Ashley Evans-Smith. I think
McMahon.
Sarah McMahon. Tanya Evinger.
Sarah's probably the highest level.
And I think Misha Tate wanted to wrestle, but then couldn't, so Caraway trained her or whatever. So those girls are going to win a majority of their women's MMA fights because they're going to have a huge advantage. I mean, right?
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. Wrestling dictates where the fight's going to happen. That's why everybody says it's the best base to start with. And if you're a pure kickboxer, you're used to getting into the clinch, you're used to those tie-ups, but you're not used to fighting hips in the same fashion. So that's a bad fight for anybody that doesn't have their wrestling experience. A wrestler is going to take them down just by touching them.
And that's what happened. I mean, Tiffany Timebaum, every time threw a kick, got taken down. And it was rough. Now, as far as Roxanne Modafari was in the finals, I was in the championship. She almost pulled it off. I was rooting for her.
I was rooting for her. It was 2-2 going.
Everybody roots for Roxanne, man. She's a sweetheart.
And you got to think about how good Roxanne could have been. Or I mean, she's still great. But if she would have went to John Woods' thing a little earlier in her career and not, you know,
I mean, she could have done better on The Ultimate Fighter too. If she was with him before.
And but and then the other girl who I wanted to win was
Jinyu Frey.
Jinyu Frey, who might have won, but her got stopped on our cuts.
I mean, you know, you look at that cut, and then you see Paul Felder the next night, who literally you could talk with how big that cut was, and they're comparing it to, you know, Marvin Eastman and Diego Sanchez's, those kind of cuts. I was looking at Jinyu Frey's. I'm like, yeah, it's bad, but it's kind of on the side, and depending on, like, maybe let her go a little bit longer, let it, you know, because it wasn't going directly in the eye. Felder's was right on the eyebrow. I would have let it go a little bit longer. I know I'm not a ref, but it seemed like it was an early stoppage in terms of the cut, and she was beating. She almost beat Hamasaki in the first.
Yeah.
Had her mounted, raining down on her. I wanted to see it go on a little longer.
Do you think there's a double standard for women in MMA? Like, do you think that fight was stopped because it was women, rather than if that was a man and the cut was where it was, would the fight be stopped?
I think there's a good possibility that it wouldn't.
I think even though you try not to, but you, as a guy ref, you see a 105-pound girl with a cut taking up half her face, yeah, and versus you see a 185-pound guy with a cut, you're like, now Paul Felder, though, when I think I watched him fight when he knocked out
Castillo,
I was like, this dude's, and for some reason, not that he's a bad fighter, he's an amazing fighter, but he just can't seem to get over that hump.
He's plateaued a little bit.
Of that next level.
Yeah.
What do you think it is?
I think it has to do with his aggression. He puts pressure on you, and he is aggressive, but that doesn't reflect in the volume of his output. You know, he's in your face, but he's also just kind of standing in your face. He's not putting pressure on you. He's not throwing a whole lot of shots. He's not doing a lot of damage and not causing you problems, causing you have to react and give him, creating openings for himself. He created those openings with Castillo for those spins and whatnot. There are guys that are looking out for that now, and he's not putting more pressure on guys with his strikes. He's dangerous. He hits very hard. So if he's throwing these shots at you, and if you're checking his leg kicks, throw those kicks to the body. You're not going to check those. You're not going to be able to stop those kicks. You have to block them. That's going to wear on the arms. Kind of slow guys down. Let him get more opportunities to throw punches and get on the inside, do damage from the clinch and stuff like that. I think that's what he should be doing. I like Paul Felder. I really wanted him to win that fight. Here's this thing. There's guys that I have even like a tertiary relationship with. When I pick them on television, they lose. So I started picking against them.
Really?
In hopes that he would win that fight.
Oh, come
hey,
on.
Greg, wow. This sounds just like your life.
But he got cut and it didn't happen. Fortunately, I think I won in the fight count over Kenny because of that fight. But still, I wanted Felder to win that fight, so I picked against him.
I will say in that fight, you know, Francisco Trinaldo's a hell of a competitor. He continues to get better and better.
He's won
every
six
fight
in a row now, right?
Seven.
He's been very good. When he first started, it was mostly just takedowns and kind of work for a submission, but not really like go crazy. Now he's working on striking. He's getting guys cut. He's got TKOs. I mean, Masaranduba is an amazing talent and a great up-and-comer from Brazil. And when he was on Tough Brazil, people were like, this guy, he's nothing, and he can't cut that much. And, you know, he's cutting a lot of weight, but he is definitely improving every time. He's going to be a tough out for anyone. And Felder, that's kind of his kryptonite a little bit, because Trinaldo can get under you, get the legs out from under you. And when you think he's going for a takedown, throw a quick shot, bust you open, and shit happens, unfortunately.
Now, let's talk about the fights this weekend. John Lineker versus John Dodson.
Oh, this is the Portland card, right?
Yeah, it's the Portland card.
I cannot wait for this fucking card.
Man, who I want to win? John Dodson. John Dodson is one of my favorite people in life. You know, he's a guy that's always like, make fun of me. And he's a good sport. He's a great fighter. I liked him on The Ultimate Fighter. He's a father, like a cute girlfriend or wife, whatever. It's just something about John Dodson that it's almost like it's impossible to not like this dude.
Is it because he's snack sized?
Yeah, that too. You can fit him in your pocket. There's something like, I don't know, as a wrestler, he reminds me of the middle school kids I coach. I don't know what it is, but there's something about John Dodson that is very, very likable. John Lineker, on the other hand, you know,
you can't stand him. No,
because he
just
keeps
kidding.
Missing weight.
Yeah.
He comes in.
Well, he missed weight at 125.
Okay, but
times,
he still
but he
kept.
Moved up.
But he kept coming in overweight, which, you know, one time, twice, it was like three or four times.
So you feel the same way about Gastelum?
No, because he's my friend.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that, I mean, I don't have any beef with Gastelum, but I feel that way about him. I don't really know him, but that's how I feel about him. And missing weight so many times, it's just like, yeah, I don't, like, you're going to have to do a lot to get me back on your team.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I understand that. But even, with, like, okay, so that being said, I want John Dodson to win.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to bet on John Dodson. But John Lineker hits so fucking hard.
But don't they both?
Yes.
Who has the better chin, though?
I do worry that John Dodson likes to get hit for some reason. I mean, when Demetrius Johnson was punching him in the face, Dodson was laughing. And there's something wrong with him. And if he does this...
In
a good way. But I feel like if he does this against this guy, he's gonna be out.
Yeah.
So does he have the maturity to... Because, I mean, John Lineker lost to that green hair guy. What's his name?
Luis Godnot?
Yeah, Godnot beat John Lineker. I mean, and I...
That was very early, though.
Very long ago, sure. My heart is going with John Dodson in this fight. Eves.
I have to go with Dodson on this one also. He's lost a couple of fights. He has that childish attitude in there as far as playful. You know, he's playful in there. But he has that experience. He's had that championship experience. He's been in there for a while. And he's one of these guys that's supposed to kind of take over, ultimately, at Greg Jackson's and Winklejohn's. So I think he's going to be a little more mature in the fight itself, even though he has that playful style. I think he's going to do well in this
fight.
He's
honest, too. Like, I asked him about John Jones. He's like, oh, I don't talk to John Jones.
Yeah.
Like,
his best friend in the gym, though, was Arlovsky, and he loves training with him. I'm like... That's like, you know, that movie My Giant with George Mirasson and Billy Crystal. You're like,
it's like Master Blaster. Yeah.
You're staring up in the air and you're like, what am I going to do with this dude? And I knew, just be like, ding.
And I knew a girl that like had problems at that gym with people, and Dodson, he was the only one nice to her. Like, he just seems like a nice.
Yeah.
He's always friendly. He's fan friendly. I've never heard one person in my entire like career of graphing or just with fighters that John Dodson treated somebody poorly.
It's weird, man. Never. John and I know they're rivals, and they were rivals at the time.
Career of graphing? Is that what it is? Yeah. Career of graphing. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Wait. Sorry, weird to hear those words so close together.
Yeah, what is this graphing career?
Yeah, well, no comment.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, we were doing the some of the motion caption stuff, or just the pictures for the motion caption for the game, and him and DJ were together at the time. They were rivals already at the time, but... The way they interact, man, it's as a fighter, it was even weird to me because he was still so playful with this guy who just beaten him, and they're still happy and they're still having fun. I like John; he has a good energy about him. He's a good person, man. I want to see him
do
well
for all the reasons you guys just said. Totally, he's too nice.
No,
he's nice,
but he wants to knock you out. Okay. I mean, look at what he did to Dillashaw
at the end of the first round. Lineker wins it.
Really?
Yep.
I hope that doesn't happen. Yeah, I do have a fear of that happening. But
I feel like he's Spider-Man, though.
Lineker's just going to be meaner. He's just going to be meaner and survive. And he'll catch him one good one, and that'll be that.
I want the athleticism to play take a big part of this one. I think he's more dynamic. You know, Lineker is the power guy. He's the tank.
Who's the favorite on this, you know?
I think it has to be Dodson. I mean, in my opinion, like, here's the thing that plays into it. Lineker has the power, for sure. Moved
he's
up a weight class.
The power!
Couldn't make 125 anymore. Dodson said, if I got a shot against Demetrius, I would go back down in a heartbeat. So he has the endurance and the determination to get back down if he had to. This is a 5-round fight. Lineker, this is like Nunes Tate. If Lineker can finish it in the first two, yeah, he'll finish it, like, done. But if it gets to, like, midway through the second, third, fourth, fifth, Dodson's been in him. Dodson's been in five rounds before.
I hear you. I like that analogy.
Dodson's faster. He's more technical.
He walks around at 160, which is crazy. You know,
he's
might...
Like 4'8".
After fighting over, he might be like, what's that? They just made a movie about him, the boxer. Hands
Prince
of Stone? No, Hands of Stone.
Oh, Durant.
He might be like Durant. He may be like, dude, I don't think he'll get that way, but...
You said there's a lot of guys get like that. You know, Rafael Cordero used to fight at 154 pounds.
Wow.
You know, he fought Rumen Asato at 154 pounds.
A lot of wrestlers get that way. You know,
I was told that it was going to happen to me, and just because somebody said that to me, I'm like, no, screw you. That's not happening.
Well, now you and Dean are being less and less recognizable, because, you know... By the way, there was a lot of fans love calling you Dean Thomas, and
Because he's the one that called out Chris Brown.
He's the one that called out Chris Brown.
And they were calling you all kinds of different shit. They were all different. Rashad, they were everything. They were calling you everything.
I felt bad for a second. I'm like, I hope Eves is not. Because one thing when we fuck with him, I hope he's not like, these motherfuckers on
Nah, man, I liked it. I saved one of those pictures they put up. It was a picture of myself, Rashad, Rampage, Anthony Johnson, Dean. So it was cool.
It's like Rampage used to say on Pride. He's like, everybody walking around thinking black people look the same. I'm sick of people calling me Gary Goodridge.
Oh, wow. Now, Will Brooks Oliveira, Cowboy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think Will Brooks got this.
Easily.
Easily? I mean, I look forward to this fight. I look forward because I think Will Brooks will win, and I think it's going to be a good fight. But you think it's going to be easily?
I think Will Brooks is on a different level.
I think so too. I think Will Brooks is a great fighter. I think his the only issue with him is sometimes his Twitter profile. He gets very angry and starts tweeting shit, which is
he's emotional.
He's one of my favorite Twitters to follow.
Damn.
Will is emotional, man. They've trained. I don't know if they've trained together, but Oliveira was down at ATT for a couple of camps.
Give us the inside info. Who
I wasn't there when he was there, unfortunately. Will has the advantages going into this one.
Right,
Will can do everything, and Oliveira, he's strong. Physically, he's strong. Yeah. He's a fighter, and he will fight out of things. But skill-wise, I think Will is just head and shoulders above
him. Do you bet on fights?
I don't, but I hear Gabe making some money. And I guess CB and you guys are making money betting on fights.
I don't bet. I'm not making money.
But why would you not bet? I mean, you don't see guys in the gym that just get the shit beat out of me like, this guy's going to get killed?
I'm not educated about betting. I'm just now understanding these lines when someone's negative or someone's a plus. I just never was into gambling. See, I grew up in the Bahamas, and Bahamians can't gamble in the Bahamas.
Really?
Yeah. So it's one of those things where I was like, I just never got into gambling, never got into betting. Now that it's live, it's like, I want to, but at the same time, like, I'm afraid to lose money.
So you can hit
stupid.
Someone with your car and have you go through a window, and you can't sue, but betting is illegal?
Betting is illegal for Bahamians. Only foreigners can gamble.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I was...
I love that foreigners can gamble. You come waste your money.
Well, there's a big story. I don't know the whole story, but we had a horse or a dog track in the Bahamas before I was born. I think it was like in the 50s. And Bahamians were just throwing their money away. And it was just a bad situation, so they made it an
illegal thing. But like Atlantis, right?
Yeah.
So you guys can't go to Atlantis?
Bahamians cannot go to Atlantis and gamble in the casinos.
Wow.
It's got to be tough for the... darker skinned tourists. And, you know what I mean? You gotta prove your shit. It's like, no, I'm American, man.
You know, I have gambled in the Bahamas before because I've been here.
By not wearing condoms or
you realize I've never had sex in the Bahamas?
Really?
I left when I was 15, so.
Oh,
well,
that's pretty.
I mean, I guess
that's
yeah.
I guess when
like
I went
11.
Back.
Yeah, I was saying, I was usually like 12.
Wait, but you don't come back at all?
I guess yeah, I've gone back with my wife. So yeah, I've had sex in the Bahamas, but
right, not with
not with a Bahamian.
Now, but if you came back being in the UFC, would you get a hero's welcome or no?
Nah, I have before. People have recognized me in the Bahamas, but nah, it wasn't. When I was fighting, the sport wasn't, or when I was at the peak anyway, the sport wasn't what it is now. So there weren't a whole lot of people that knew what I was doing. There were some people that recognized me. They were fight fans. But
now, are there hot fighter groupies, or is it all CB? I'm serious. It seems
strong
like
strong 70% chunk of CB.
No, because when I go to, like, I've been to the UFC Fan Expo, and it's 9,000 CB guys, no offense, and maybe a couple of their girlfriends.
No offense, people wish they could be me.
Oh, I know, everybody.
You know what it is? A particular type of girl loves a fighter, and they're called strippers.
So then they're not at the expo?
No, they're too busy making money.
Is that true? Is it mostly strippers?
I would say so. I wouldn't say mostly strippers, but that type. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because we saw him. Remember, we were at the fights, and the one girl, I don't know how much Molly she took before the fucking fights, but they had to carry her out. They bring in the fucking paramedics and shit, and people are like, which fighter's fucking hurt? It was one of these stripper whores who had great seats, by the way, front row seats, so you know she was a guest at one of the fighters fighting that night, and she was just like, meh, fucking
And then she was passed out, and Joe tried to bang her. No, Joe, come here. You said you had a funny story for us. Will you tell us the story? So what happened with the girl? By the way, Joe is a big hit on the podcast. People keep asking about the girl that you're seeing. What's going on?
Well, it's not with the girl who I've been talking to who does heroin. It's not this girl.
Okay.
This is a completely different story.
This is the fat Asian girl?
No, this is a completely different
girl. A different one from the fat Asian girl.
Yeah, so I met this girl
on... with the big bush.
I met this girl on Bumble, right?
Right.
And you know with Bumble, the girl's supposed to message you first.
Right.
She probably sent me a 5-paragraph essay with at least 600 questions.
Ooh.
I was like, what the hell? How am I going to answer all these questions? So, you know, I started to talk a little bit of shit to her, and, you know, we got into a fight on Bumble, you know, whatever. And then she told me that she goes to...
got into a fight on Bumble.
Yeah, she goes to the same school as me, whatever, no big deal. So the new semester just started like a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
right.
What
happened?
I go into my class and she is in the class that I'm taking.
No way.
Yes.
So what happened?
Nothing. She just looks at me very weird and I try not to pay any attention.
Wait, hold on. But on Twitter you go, I have a terrible story to tell you guys. But you didn't say that about the girl that did heroin and came over. you didn't say that about the fat Asian chick that masturbated
and
in front
of you.
Now
just some girls in your class?
This is very uncomfortable. I don't know what to do. I've never dealt with something like this before.
Dude, you know, here's what you do, okay?
What do I do, Greg?
You wait till the professor is like, so listen, we got a big exam coming up. He goes, excuse me, will it be an essay test? Because one of us in this class will be killing it if it's an essay test.
Is this girl cute?
No, she's a behemoth.
Wait, she's not cute.
No.
So why are you matching with behemoths on...
Swipe right.
Yeah, why
swipe right, every girl. I don't even look at the girl. I'm watching TV while I'm doing this. Not even looking at my phone.
Now what happened?
Right.
Now what happened with the Asian girl that masturbated in front of you?
With the big bush.
I blocked her on Bumble.
Why?
Because she's very, very strange and hairy.
And what happened with the girl that was on heroin?
She probably works for the government.
Well, I haven't talked to the girl on heroin in a couple of days, but we're going to Not Scary Farm on Saturday.
Definitely going with her.
Yes.
She's got 5 more days under the bridge.
Yes.
Before she's like, I got to wake up. I got to wake up, guys. I got to go.
But I'm kind of regretting asking her to go with me.
Why?
Because I'm worried. I don't know. She's very weird. She's very mentally ill, you know.
You guys have a lot in common.
Yeah.
Joe, I didn't want to tell you, but she was at the pawn shop the other day. She left her phone there.
She left my phone
there?
She
left her phone there. That's why she's not responding.
Well, listen.
And also her nipples, I cut them out. She sold them to me for a nickel bag.
I don't want fucking track mark nipples. Are you crazy?
Hey, when they pair you guys up for a project in a class, go just walk by her and go, I'd ask you to be my partner, but I'm afraid you'd bumble it.
Nice. Well, good luck. Keep us posted, Joe. Thank you for your. A lot of people are very curious.
We love the adventures of Joe Perry.
Dating with Joe Perry.
The fat Asian girl masturbating in front of him story. So I'm gonna go back and listen to that.
and she has a huge bush from what
with
he
a huge saying. Bush.
Yeah. Huge, like grotesquely large amount of bush.
Did you hear the one that she's a heroin addict and that doesn't bother him, but she's a vegan and he dropped her?
By the way, so if you just to keep everyone posted, I watched the China and Rob show last night.
I think that's our cue.
So Rob Kardashian goes back and meets China back in the hood.
What happened with the Cannes Film Festival?
China.
They went to China?
Pro wrestling China?
No, China.
No,
she died.
Black China. Rob Kardashian. Okay.
Yeah, they had the other own reality show. And so I guess China has 10 brothers and sisters. The father had sex with numerous women. So she has a brother and sister. They're all 5 months apart. But the mom's meeting him for the first time. The mom only had China. So
this is a reality producer's dream.
So they all get... So, of course, it's a fight at dinner. But they made up by going to the strip club that China used to work at. And then the father and the mother made it rain on like the strippers. And everyone lived happily ever after. That's what happened last week.
Wait, they lived happily ever after? Or we have to wait till next week?
Next week.
I want the listening audience to know that I'm composing a text during this recap because I don't give a flying fuck.
All right. So Bobby Green versus Berkman.
Bobby Green's not in the fight.
It says Bobby Green.
No. What?
On the official
That's not
website.
Bobby Green?
He's out. He's been out for a while.
It says Bobby Green on the UFC.com.
He's fighting Zach Ota. I already covered. There's been three injuries on this card.
Oh. Well, that's, I'm sure the UFC doesn't seem to
you
care.
You really should follow him on Twitter. He follows back.
Berkman's fighting a newcomer called named Zach Ota. Ota.
Do you know anything about him?
I don't know anything about him. I think, you know.
What about Smoke Moreno? Who's Moreno?
Brandon Moreno's on this season of The Ultimate Fighter, but he lost his first round fight.
To who?
So they're he was, I think, the first fight of the season. I don't remember who.
Where everyone has a belt that season?
Yeah, it's this season. Oh. Yeah, it's the one that's on.
Well,
right
I got
now.
Smoka then.
Yeah, Smoka's. It's not an easy fight. It's easier than the fight he had before, which was Sergio Pettis, but I think Smolka all day.
Now the fight is an interesting fight, actually. Nate Marquardt versus the Barn Cat, Tamden McRory.
This is the fight that Tyron's pissed about.
Yeah, this fight, I don't know, man. I mean,
why is Tyron pissed about this fight?
Because they used to promote Nate Marquardt on this fight. They used the footage of him knocking out Tyron in Strikeforce.
Now this fight's tough because Tamden wins fights that I don't think he's or that he beats Josh Saman. He knocked out those dudes in Bellator. Who did he knock out in Bellator? In 18 seconds, Brandon. Somebody he knocked out with like a really good guy, a wrestler.
Was it Brandon Halsey?
No, I forgot who it was. Somebody in Bellator he knocked out, but I was like, holy shit. And Tamden's got power that you wouldn't think he'd have based on that he looks like a science teacher, you know? But Nate Marquardt has not looked good as of late, right? He got murked.
It's been a long road for Mr. Marquardt. He's been up and down from
year is this?
Welterweight to middleweight to back to welterweight to middleweight. I mean, he's jumping around.
He lost the last fight to Thiago Santos in one round. He beat CB Dalloway, lost to Kelvin before that, lost to Brad Tavares for that, beat James Tahuna, lost to Hector, lost to Jake Ellenberger. I mean,
it's been a long road for him. I think this could be the swan song.
I mean,
for him.
He's been around a long time, man. Nate and I fought each other in '99.
Wow.
You know?
Who won?
Nate won.
Oh, but heel hook,
by
right?
By heel hook, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. But who do you think wins this fight, him or Tamden?
A prime Nate Marquardt wins this fight walking away. Now, I really don't know. I'm being indecisive here because I want him to win.
Yeah.
But that's a tall order considering what he's done in the past couple of fights and the way he's looked. He just doesn't look like.
Do you think the stuff he was taking helped him a lot?
I don't know if it gave him confidence or if it helped him compete, but it had some kind of effect on him.
By the way, the guy that so Tanda got starts by Joko his last fight.
Oh, because of Joko, he got announced for a fight last night. Actually,
he beat Josh Saman. The guy he beat in Bellator, he beat Brennan Ward.
Oh, Brennan Ward?
Yeah, he destroyed Brennan Ward. Brennan Ward's a good fighter.
He's a very good fighter. He got announced for a fight the other day, too.
So, I don't know. I think Tam is going to win this fight.
I think the Barn Cat. I think on the feet, he's got more power, better technique. And if Marquardt takes him down, if he gets the takedown, McCrory's good off his back. He's got great jiu-jitsu.
That, and it's nice to see a Bellator fight in UFC. You don't usually get that.
So my three-fight parlay.
And your boy Andre Feely got added to
you
the
like
card.
That
was funny.
So my three-fight parlay would be Nate Marquardt.
Marquardt?
I know. Three-fight parlay would be Tamden, Tamden, Will Brooks, and John Dodson. Three-fight parlay. If you win, tip
you
us.
You could add.
Who would your three-fight parlay be? If you had to bet on three guys to win,
I would go with Brooks, Dodson, and Smolka.
And what would your 3-5 parlay be?
I would go Will Brooks, Berkman, Smolka.
Yeah, Smolka's 11-1. Damn. What would your 3-5 parlay be?
I would only bet on one fight, and I would bet on Curtis Blaydes.
Why?
Because he just looks like a bad mamma jamma. I'm telling you, I just feel like it would be the, I don't know, he's got a, I don't know, it just seems like Blade, like he's going to do some weird shit, I don't know.
You just like his name.
Totally, I love his name, I love his name, Curtis Blaydes. I feel like he's going to start rapping right after, like he's going to win and be like, this is the story of Curtis Blaydes, you can't stop a motherfucker till you know his name. Like, it's going to be hot, man. He's going to be selling a CD outside the arena.
His new mixtape is fire.
That's right.
So that's why you would do this.
Curtis Blaydes.
Based
all
on
the
fact of how he looks.
Yes, Curtis Blaydes.
Wow. All right.
Didn't he lose his UFC debut?
Yes.
Yeah.
To.
Didn't he fight like?
It's comeback time, baby.
Ngannou.
That's right. They both debuted.
That's the guy that I think Tim Johnson's fighting, but I could.
I think Ngannou is something special, man.
Ngannou?
No, he was also he's a good wrestler. He's 2012 junior college.
You don't want to mess with no Curtis Blaydes. Curtis Blaydes gonna take you down.
So what do you got coming up, Greg?
I'm in El Paso this week. I'll be in El Paso Wednesday through Sunday at the El Paso Comic Strip.
Yeah, okay. What do you got? What do you got coming up?
This week?
Yeah.
Dime Bar tomorrow night.
Yes.
Got to support the Dime Bar.
And your YouTube show, right?
People need to come down, check it out. Episode 9 is up on YouTube, SoundCloud, and iTunes. It was almost a 2-hour show, covered a ton of upcoming
fights.
It's
you by yourself.
It's me by myself for
two
now.
Hours.
If you've ever
for
wondered
now.
What it's like to get stuck in a car on a long ass road trip with CB Gold, well, now you can download the podcast. It's almost as enjoyable as driving to a funeral. But hey, thank you for the retweet on my podcast, on my fantasy football podcast.
No, what is this?
Fantasy football, harsh reality. It's my fantasy football podcast.
Now, have you ever won a fantasy football poll?
Oh yeah, I've won several championships and I've won money on DraftKings.
How much money have you won?
Like $20.
And how much have you lost?
Like $25. I usually stay about even. I lose a little, I win a little.
So it
stays about even for me.
Eve, anything coming up?
I have not too much coming up right now. I've been working on previs for this show or for this film called Alita Battle Angel, and I'm trying to get on the full film. That will be awesome because the fight scenes look so much fun.
What do you mean you're working on the...
So when they make these big budget films, they build these fight scenes, and they show them to the director, and the director, if he likes it, he wants the whole thing. And then of course they may have to take some pieces out or whatever, but we built some fights and I liked what it looked like. They're filming in Austin. So it's another way to go back to Texas and be in that environment again. But yeah, I'm trying to get on that.
Nice.
I've planted some seeds and hope.
Curtis Blaydes
in there? Curtis Blaydes is not in it.
Oh man, you gotta throw in Curtis Blaydes.
I want him to come do the soundtrack.
Yeah, that's right.
Like CB said, every Tuesday night I am at the Dime Bar. And in Hollywood. I'm at the Madhouse Comedy Club in San Diego Wednesday night. This Wednesday, San Diego.
That's a fun one.
Friday I'm in Fresno at Frank's Place in Fresno. And then this month, I will be at the El Paso Comic Strip. Actually, I'm in Chattanooga, Tennessee, at the Comedy Catch. And then El Paso at the Comic Strip. And then in Arizona at the House of Comedy in Scottsdale, Arizona. New York City, November 10th. I am at the Cutting Room.
Yeah.
November 10th.
Before the big Madison
Before
Square
the big
Garden
fight.
Fights,
then yeah. I'm going to the fights with my brother. And then Friday, November 25th.
Might be do a little anal.
Yes.
Right, a little out-of-town idol.
At the Funny Bone in Liberty Township.
Yes. Yes.
November 25th, Liberty Township, yes. Cincinnati Funny Bone. And then Edmonton as well as Minnesota. So thank you guys very, very much. Thank you, Eves. You have no idea how much it means to have somebody who actually knows what they're talking about on the show. No, I'm kidding. I'm fucking kidding. Now, listen.
I love that I'm offended for CB. I'm not offended for me. I agree. We need people who want to fight. But I'm like, CB knows. I mean, he can fight, but he knows about
CB
fighting.
Last week said, there's no way Eric Spicely wins.
I was thinking the same thing, man. High five. No. But still, I did think, I was like, this guy, his striking is not very good. His wrestling is horrible.
Here was my take on it. He lost to a jiu-jitsu guy on The Ultimate Fighter by knockout, and he lost to a knockout artist on a fight night by submission. And I'm like, Thiago Santos is a fucking murderer, and...
Everybody on my Twitter was like, CB doesn't know shit. Fucking
somebody grouped me in with Greg Wilson, and I'm like, I'm not that bad. Not yet.
Yeah, I think Santos, man.
CB Gold's golden
Musasi
gold picks.
Did something to him.
You think so, Musasi? Yeah.
Man, how do you go out and lose like that to a guy whose skills don't match up with yours in that department?
I think he overlooked him.
There you go.
Tiago?
Yeah, Tiago.
Well, I said Tiago was going to beat Musasi, and that... fucking.
I think Thiago said, this white boy is not coming to Brazil and fucking beat me up. No way, you know? And then it's just, you can't overlook anybody.
Man, he got beat in every department, too. It was horrible.
Wow. You got beat. I think it was. You got beat in every department.
Including Macy's. Like,
you look at, did you see the Thor's hammer on his fucking chest?
I thought it was a fly swatter.
Somebody tweeted me that too, and they're like, which one's worse, Brock's chest tattoo or fucking Thiago Santos's hammer? And I'm
by
like,
by the way, he has 5 McGregor tattoos.
Getting a sixth.
He is the most committed.
Getting a sixth.
He has how many?
Are you Irish?
No.
No, no. How many Chuck Liddell tattoos do you have?
I have 1 Chuck Liddell.
How many Thug Jitsu tattoos do you have?
Not yet.
What? Yeah, what's
we
up with
ain't
this?
Even friends, man.
He'll Seriously.
He'll have to clear some room.
Do you have room for a Thug Jitsu or no?
I always have room. I'll
Dude,
find
put
room.
That one, like, shave your pubes and put that one above your dick. Fucking Thug Jitsu. That way they know what's coming. A guy who's read a lot about sports.
Well, listen, thank you guys so much. Take care. Have a great night.